107 FM Talk 106.5. You hear that in traffic? I mean, there we go. It's another pedestrian hit.
Copy and paste.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're correct. Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5, Sean Sullivan, Dalton Norwig, Kelly Finley, and you at 343-0106. We will continue our sidebar we've been doing, who you would ban off YouTube if given the power of the edit. You know, I started with PewDiePie. You went to Psy of Gangnam Style.
Yeah.
I know Marty had suggested Rick Astley on the list. They've got all the singers in there. What about commentators out there? If you're going to start editing speech on YouTube, how far do you go? That's one of the questions we're talking about this morning, and you can always chime in on the text line at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, it is a Tuesday. We say hello to the name brand for QuinnHillier.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Quinn Hillier. Hey, man.
Good morning, y'all.
Yeah, good morning. And, big news now. The trilogy is published, right? Mad Jones, all three are out and available for purchase.
At Amazon.com. Mad Jones Heretic, Mad Jones Hero, and Mad Jones Agonistes. Please buy and please go to the Amazon site and give it a good review.
I guess the many thumbs up, right? Or whatever you do.
Yes,
over
indeed.
Yes. I want to talk about a bunch of things with you this morning, but you sent me an obit. I was like, man, why is Quinn sending me an obit? And you sent one for Paul D. Laxalt, one-time Nevada governor and influential Reagan advisor, passed away. Tell us about Paul Laxalt for people who don't know that name.
Yeah, former Nevada governor and then former U.S. senator. He was, it's a shame that he's not as well remembered today, and mostly because he was sort of a humble guy, but he was known as Ronald Reagan's best political friend. As a matter of fact, when they called Nancy Reagan First Lady, they would call Paul Laxalt First Friend. They were governors of adjoining states at the same time and worked together on mutual issues. And then Laxalt was Reagan's national campaign chairman in 76, 80, and 84 for his runs for president, and of course carried his agenda in the U.S. Senate. He was just a crucial player in the Reagan Revolution and a wonderful, wonderful human being. About the only person of whom it could be said in the Senate that he was genuinely very well liked by both Jesse Helms and Ted Kennedy, which means you're a hell of a nice person if both of those extremes can like you.
Or you're the consummate power broker that they need.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and there are a lot of stories about what he did legislatively. But I've got two or three, well, two in particular, first person accounts of times that I was with Laxalt that I just think are very instructive. And
tell us about Laxalt. Give us some, behind the music or behind the politician.
Well, 1980, Joe Louis Arena, Detroit, the Republican National Convention. People forget now, there was this incredible, intense interest in who Reagan would pick as his running mate because all of a sudden it looked like he might pick former President Gerald Ford as his running mate. And it was all over the national news. Ford went on and was interviewed about it by Walter Cronkite of CBS. And you know, no former president had ever come back as vice president before. It was a big deal. I was a page at that convention, and there was a VIP entrance in the back of the arena that was about 15 yards away from sort of a VIP hall that went to the back rooms behind the podium. And the page room happened to be right around there, too, and I used to hang out trying to get pictures of VIPs. And while all this was going on, I'm sort of standing there, and all of a sudden, Paul Laxalt, who I knew was Reagan's best friend, walks through that back door from the outside, and there's one reporter and me. And the reporter and his cameraman says, "Senator Laxalt, oh, good, you can tell us what's the latest on the Ford choice." And Laxalt says, and he's clearly not very happy, said, "It's not Ford, it's Bush. And this was the first time anybody had ever reported that the Ford thing had fallen through and that Reagan was going to go with Bush. Well, he says it's not Ford, it's Bush, and suddenly media came up from all over the place and crowd around us pushing against me, pushing against Laxalt, and they're saying, what do you mean it's Bush? We all know it's Ford. We just saw Ford on TV, blah, blah, blah. And Laxalt says through very clenched teeth, he said, I'm telling you, it's not Ford, it's Bush. Now, he didn't like Bush very much. So, anyway, that was the big national news, and I'm standing right there. And the weird thing was security came around to try to escort Laxalt away from this sudden crush of media. It was Laxalt and one aide that had walked in with him. And I had my little page thing on, and apparently the security guy thought that I was with Laxalt. And so he pulled me and the aide and Laxalt down into that security VIP hallway, leaving the media behind. And all of a sudden, I'm this 16-year-old kid, and I'm walking along with Laxalt down the hallway until finally he looks down like, who the heck are you? and he sees my page badge, and he says, oh, young man, I won't be needing you anymore. That's okay, young man. Thanks a lot. And then he walks off down the hall. But it was this firsthand view of history, and Laxalt was so upset that he and his wife literally walked out of the arena and went to dinner, and left everything behind because that's how much conservatives did not like the elder Bush. He was furious. So that's story one.
Huh?
Yeah, and
I'm thinking.
I later, when I was editing a book on the Reagan, on the 1980 campaign, I saw. It turned out the book reported what had just happened in the 2 minutes before he walked through the door where I saw him. There was an outside communications trailer just outside of the convention hall where the Reagan aides were sort of relaying communications with all, from the Reagan Hotel into the convention center, and Laxalt had stopped off there. He was general chairman of the campaign, and he had stopped off there just for a second. And the guy said, Senator, you might want to take this call. And he picks up the phone, and it wasn't Nancy Reagan, but it was somebody like that said, Paul, just want to tell you, it's Bush. And he had stormed out of the trailer, stormed through the door, and that's where I saw him.
I would say more on the national stage as people think about Laxalt. They say, I don't know that name, but I was reading this one of the stories here about Laxalt, and what I remember being a child of the 80s and remembering what was going on in the Philippines. And it says here that Laxalt was key in the negotiations with Ferdinand Marcos.
One of the best things the man ever did, he saved maybe thousands, maybe tens of thousands of lives, lots of bloodshed. There was Ferdinand Marcos was the dictator in the Philippines. He was a dictator, but he was very U.S. friendly, and the Reagan administration had tried to get him to reform because they didn't want to lose his alliance, but they wanted him to reform, and he wouldn't reform, and they had elections that were rigged. And there was all sorts of unrest, and there was about to be a revolution. People had already started to be killed, and looked like just this going to be a huge bloody mess. And the Reagan administration had tried to send signs to him saying, this is not tenable. You might want to consider stepping down. And Marcos didn't believe it because they were sort of muted messages. And so Paul Laxalt, senator, known as Reagan's best friend, got on the phone with Marcos and said, old friend, it's time for you to make a break and make a clean one. And he basically negotiated. He told Marcos, if you leave now and don't put your country into bloodshed, we will fly you out of there and put you up at the Air Force Base in Hawaii. So you escape with your life, and the transition to democracy can be peaceful. And it was Laxalt that talked Marcos into leaving, and it was one of the great diplomatic achievements really, in history. And it was such a big deal that Ted Kennedy, he'd never agreed with Reagan on anything, Kennedy went to the floor of the Senate and said, this is basically, I mean, he didn't use these words, but he said, this is Reagan's finest hour. He said, this is a great, great thing for freedom and democracy. He said, all credit to Ronald Reagan and his team. Of course, his team was Senator Paul Laxalt.
Was Laxalt part of the setting up of the C-130 that hauled all of Imelda Marcos's shoes out of the country?
I don't know about that. He just talked Marcos into leaving without bloodshed. But if you want, I can tell you about a private dinner 7 years after that 80 convention with Laxalt, when Laxalt was temporarily running for president.
What year is that he ran?
He was going to run for the 88 nomination, and of course he was gearing up in the summer of 1987, and came through Louisiana where I was, and had a private dinner in Lafayette with the people that he wanted to be on his statewide steering committee. So there are only about 12 people at this private dinner in a private room in a restaurant in Lafayette, and my dad and I were two of those 10 or 12 people at the dinner, and I can certainly tell you about that.
All right, well, let's do that. So tell me about that story. We'll hold off on the break. Tell me about what happened.
Well, I was a 23-year-old sort of staffer and activist, and my dad had been a Reagan congressional district chairman in 1980. Well, Laxalt got all of Reagan's congressional district chairmen, all eight of them, to commit to him for the 1988 race, and was coming through and trying to organize, and so he had those eight people plus an aide, and then my dad brought me because they thought maybe I could actually do a lot of the nuts and bolts, of the political work. And we went over to this dinner, and I will never forget, we're sitting in this private room, and Laxalt was he was a very humble guy, and he was very approachable. He was wearing a nice conservative business suit, but without a tie, and he was known for these cowboy boots. He literally pulled a second chair up to him at the table, and so he could put his legs up on the second chair while he sort of leaned back in his chair, and he put his big feet up there with the big old cowboy boots. And he was very matter of fact. He wasn't full of himself. He was very sort of politically practical, but he was very approachable, very nice to me. I'm just some 23-year-old kid. Of course, he didn't remember me from 7 years before. There was no reason to. But this was a guy who was Reagan's closest political friend, and he was saying, maybe I should be the one that keeps on the Reagan Revolution, but what do you guys think? And then he listened more than he talked. That's the kind of guy that he was. And it was just really interesting to see him up close in that sort of intimate 12-person setting. And that's why people liked him, because he was a straight shooter. He was kind. He was decent. He was humble. But that also meant that his presidential campaign didn't last long, because he was not one of these guys who would beat his own drum. And after about 4 months, he decided he wasn't going to be able to raise enough money, and he dropped out.
There we go. The legacy of Paul Laxalt. Quinn, thanks for your time this morning. Thanks for the insight.
Absolutely. Thank
All right.
you.
Coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. A couple things on my list. We'll talk about this stormwater fee for the city of Mobile. Also, I have this story. This is too good to be true. We've got two elderly people breaking out of a nursing home to go to a concert. And I'll tell you what kind of show they wanted to go to when we get back. This to the regular bump music rotation.
I love it.
There's some Priest in the mix, huh? 825 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, Sean, Kelly, Dalton, and you at 343-0106. Okay, we'll get to the other stories and some of, what we're talking about on our top three big things on our website. But I have to do this story. So, according to the folks in Wacken, Germany, two elderly German men escaped their nursing home on Friday to attend the Wacken Open Air Heavy Metal Festival. I mean, I love everything about this story. First of all, you got, you know, old dudes that are on the lam, right? They're leaving the nursing home, but are they going to do something boring? Nuh-uh. They're going to the rock show. Police found the aging metalheads at 3 a.m. at Wacken Open Air, the world's biggest heavy metal festival. Police spokeswoman said that they were disoriented and dazed. Okay, let me ask this question. Couldn't that have been said about the majority of people probably at the Wacken Open Air Heavy Metal Festival?
They fit right in.
You know, they're disoriented in days. Well, dude, they're at the show.
Yeah, I'm picturing Wayne and Garth, like, escaping their,
like
their elderly nursing home.
Wayne's World. The two men did not want to leave the four-day festival.
Nice.
So police escorted them home with the help of a taxi and a patrol car. Quote, they obviously liked the heavy metal festival, end quote. That was police spokeswoman Merle Neufeld told a public broadcaster, Norddeutscher Rundfunk. I love the Norddeutscher Rundfunk. The care home quickly organized return transport after police picked them up. Legendary festival in its 29th year was sold out with 75,000 people expected to attend the four-day festival. Headline acts this year include Danzig, Judas Priest, Hatebreed, In Flames, Running Wild, Arch Enemy, In Extremo, and really? Eskimo Callboy.
Glenn Danzig actually had to escape his nursing home also to make it out there.
To be at the show. A heat wave in Germany forced organizers to warn fans against fire and dust risks. Okay. Police said revelers behaved well this year, and officers needed to do a little outside of a few minor drug seizures.
Hopefully not on those two.
Well, I don't know. Okay, let me say this just for a second, because hopefully I will make old man status one day. If these guys are in a home.
Yeah.
Okay, and living out their golden years or whatever. If they want to go to the darn heavy metal festival, not only should they not have to sneak out, they should be driven to the heavy metal festival.
And they should be treated to some adult beverages.
Exactly. If these dudes are getting out of the nursing home, they should be able to go on. Should be able to have the people at the nursing home put them in the van, put on some Judas Priest, and rock their way to the festival. And if those dudes want to party for 4 days, so what?
Yeah.
So what?
I hope they didn't get stuck in a mosh pit, but maybe that's what they were wanting.
Maybe they want, if they're wanting to do that,
they wanted the full experience and they deserved it.
Right, and they, you know, it's a 4 day festival, and here comes the fun police. Das Fun Police to shut it all down.
So can you imagine the stories that they were telling, like remembering all these groups back in the day?
Yeah.
Back in the day, like 40, 50 years ago.
Right. I remember so Judas Priest when they were new.
Oh
das
goodness.
Judas Priest. I'm sorry.
That's so awesome. And we've wondered for years and years and years when the heavily tattooed generations get old.
Yes.
You know, what the tattoos will look like then.
It,
I think we're there,
like the
right?
Does it look like
the tattoo is.
Yeah. Well, does it look like the guy's, the Nazi's face who melted in Indiana Jones? That's what I'm wondering if it has that kind of, that dripping thing to it. I guess you could see that at the Open Air Heavy Metal Festival.
So, I have a question. So, it's a four-day festival.
Yeah.
So, what were the sleeping arrangements?
Anything you want. It's Germany. It's heavy metal. Come on. Fräulein. Come on. That's why these dudes were there.
Oh, Frankfurter.
Yes.
One of my favorite stories I've heard in a long time. This is awesome.
So those dudes are like my heroes of the day. And it just hopefully if I make it to that status down the road and I sneak out of the nursing home to go to whatever rock show it is or whatever, they'll just leave me be. Okay, I'll be back. Because I know where the food is, and I want to be there for water aerobics on Monday. But right now, I'm at the Open Air Heavy Metal Festival.
I would like to know how they concocted this idea, though. Were they watching the newspaper? And they saw the headline and they plotted this out months in advance, weeks in advance.
Do you think this is the makings of a movie?
See?
So this is Thelma and Louise got nothing on these guys, you know?
were Rammstein, were they there?
They were not.
That's what I'm wondering.
No, I did not see that, but that would have been cool. That would have been a place for Rammstein, but no Rammstein, but you did have like you said, Danzig, which, you know, interestingly enough, they could be at the nursing home as well.
Yeah.
Judas Priest could be at the nursing home as well. I don't know Hatebreed, In Flames, Running Wild, Archenemy, In Extremo, or Eskimo Callboy, but the first two I do know.
You'll be all right not knowing those bands.
I'll make it through?
Yeah, I think you'll be fine.
All right. Coming up, we'll get your phone calls at 343-0106. In Kelly's headlines this morning, this discussion of a stormwater tax, $10? $10 to have...
Per year for have, residential properties.
Have water go running off your property or something like that, huh? We'll get the details on that story and your reaction when we get back. All right, so yeah, they probably do dig the Rammstein. I mean, I imagine. They were probably bummed out that they weren't playing the four-day festival. But yeah, one day when I get old, if I make it, y'all let me go to the rock show.
I would totally drive you. Well, but I would put you in the five-point harness, though, to make sure you didn't fall out of your seat, though.
Yeah, we'll drive fast, Fräulein.
Autobahn, hello.
Du hast mich.
Morning, 8:36 here on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. If you're a small business owner, you probably already know that the right hire can have a huge impact on your business. That's why it's crucial you make sure your job posts reach the most qualified candidates. You could try posting on job boards, but do you really know who will see it? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike job boards, LinkedIn is a community. That's the key word, a community that career-focused people visit every day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. Insights that are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. It's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now, if you go to linkedin.com/WAVH, you'll get $50 off your first job post. Once again, that's linkedin.com/WAVH for $50 off. Terms and conditions do apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
8:37, FM Talk 106.5, three big things. What you need to know today, top of the page on our website, fmtalk1065.com. Trump ups sanctions pressure on Iran despite European dismay. That as of last night, with more sanctions going in, now telling nations that would do business with Iran, you don't need to try to do business with us. That's on our list. Also, Jake Peavy night set for Saturday night. And this story, City of Mobile could begin collecting a stormwater fee. Kelly, you were talking about this in headlines this morning. Property owners inside the Mobile city limits could soon be paying a fee to help strengthen the city's stormwater program. The fee would be $10 per residential property per year. Commercial space or property would be assessed at 0.5 cents per square foot. Now, think about this. This is, because I got a lot of questions on this. So I go through, here's what they said. Okay, commercial space or property assessed at 0.5 cents per square foot, maximum fee of $3,000. Mobile County Revenue Commission would collect the stormwater fee as other ad valorem taxes. So I guess you get a blue card on this or something. I guess it makes sense with water, but you get your, I guess. Property tax exemptions already in place would still apply. Owners of agricultural land or greenfields would be exempt from the fee. Get ready to see a bunch of stuff, you know, a bunch of soybean farming going on in the front of buildings and restaurants all over town. According to the press release, the fees will be designated for, quote, stormwater activities to improve the water quality of city waterways, end quote. Cities have been authorized to collect stormwater fees because of recent state legislation. The stormwater fee must be approved by the Mobile City Council. Oh, well.
Look at you. Well, and the statement that was released on Monday by the mayor, he said, quote, when I first stepped into office, Mobile was the poster child for stormwater mismanagement.
True.
As the rainiest city in America, this is a serious problem. Now we are well on our way to become the poster child for stormwater excellence. This funding will help us better protect our natural resources and create a cleaner, greener community.
Well, I tell you, the opening line there is, spot on, because the city of Mobile, when Sandy Simpson became Mayor Stimson, was facing a big lawsuit from ADEM. Let me tell you, to have ADEM, I'm gonna get myself in trouble again. To have ADEM suing you in the state of Alabama for an environmental issue, that's like, it's like when, wasn't it Duff McKagan got kicked out of Guns N' Roses for drugs? Uh-huh. It's like when in Guns N' Roses, when Axl and Slash come to you and go, dude, man, you gotta clean up. When ADEM gets you on stormwater management, you're bad. You know it.
Like Joe Jackson.
Right, you're bad. Uh-huh. So they're facing this lawsuit, then they work through this consent decree, doing the, you know, the litter traps, the different plans, how the boats going up and down, the fine structure for people to have dumpsters and keeping covers on them. All those things are part of the consent decree to reduce the amount of money. Mobile could either give ADEM the money in a fine or spend the money to fix the problem. And
gotcha.
So that was part of the stormwater management plan. That was the get-go on this that I guess is still coming to fruition with this $10 fee.
Well, and speaking of that, because what I thought was the most interesting quote was, according to the administration, that all fees will be allocated to stormwater activities to improve the water quality of city waterways. I think that's important because when you think
about... It's not going to the general fund.
There you go.
Which is why the council won't approve it.
Don't be that guy. Let's stay optimistic. But I think it's important to put that in writing because people want to know, if you're going to charge me more, if you're going to take more of my money, where is it going?
Because not down the drain?
Nice.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was easy.
That was a layup.
I'm done.
Well, it's, you know, everybody wants the stormwater problem fixed, right? Until taxes are brought up.
Right.
And then that's where the buck stops, where you'll have to pay more.
Okay, so on principle, and there's going to be people complaining about the $10 fee. To me, if you could spend $10 a year extra and all the stupid stuff you spend $10 on a year, drop Hamilton's on. If you drop an extra Hamilton in a year and it fixes the stormwater issues for our city or at least improves them, I see that as a good trade. Now, you're going to see commercial property owners, though, and people looking at $3,000 possibly in fee. That's going to be, I mean, what do you have multiple?
Maximum. And it's half cent per square foot.
Right, half cent per square foot. Uh-huh. And because I started thinking, you know, what about buildings like we're in that the footprint, because when you deal with stormwater, you take the fact that you've taken grass away, woods away, and you have concrete and these things that increase the runoff of stormwater, right? I mean, as you pave over things, you increase the amount of flow. You don't have as much area for water to go into the ground. But if I'm paying per square footage and I have a five-story building and you have a one-story building, we really actually both just have the same footprint. So I would argue, but they capped it at 3,000. But if you have multiple commercial properties, don't you argue that, you know, that's going to really, at the end of the day, at the end of the fiscal year, it's going to have an impact. We'll grab some calls on this. David's in Mobile. He is up first. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean, Kelly, Dalton.
Hey, David.
ADEM suing you for environmental problems is like Willie Nelson saying you smoke too much pot.
Yeah, there you go.
But listen, if this money was really going to go to solve the biggest issue with our stormwater system in a Mobile, I might actually support this fee, but it's not going to fix the biggest issue that's going to make the biggest impact, and that's the infrastructure of our system. Our infrastructure and our system for stormwater runoff is the state of it is so deplorable that you have streets that are flooding for isolated thunderstorms in Midtown and downtown Mobile. Until you address the infrastructure, the stormwater issue in this city is not going to get better. No matter how many litter traps you put in, which is a good thing, no matter how many education programs you do, until you have the infrastructure in place, it's not going to solve the problem.
And you're playing the same fiddle I've been playing for, you know, darn near a decade here about that, and it's nobody wants to do it because it's below ground and there's no ribbon cutting and it's not sexy, you know, and you've got, I'm sorry, but you've got programs. You mentioned one, and I'll go ahead and, I'll go ahead and let this sacred cow out of the chute and ride it like a cowboy. You've got Moz, doing a lot of things and sending me, you know, booklets to the house of fun things about water and water tips and all that stuff. How about we just direct that into some of the money? I know it's incredibly small compared to the big lake, but the money that needs to go into replacing the infrastructure. I agree with you, David. But the litter traps are a good thing. There are things that, but yeah, those things are Band-Aids on a bigger wound. But the $10 fee, listen, even if it's not going to fix it, But if the $10 fee improves the situation and makes our life better as a municipality, I'm down with it. But the problem is, if you're a commercial property owner, then it brings up up to $3,000. That's stiff.
I think it'd be great if they could be transparent with how this money is being spent, not just saying it's going where you say it's going, but that there's some way that citizens can see how their money is being spent, how their money is being used. Transparency is a big deal, especially in these times.
Texter says, the residents and businesses did not lay the storm drain lines. The city did, so they are responsible for paying the bill, not us. Okay, tell you something. First of all, the city is us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's how it works. The city's not a different thing. The city gets money through tax revenue from we the people of this municipality and whatever we can get from people coming through town and lodging fees and all this. But that's where the money comes from. That they are us. And you know, you're talking about the water lines. Actually, that's MAWS, a utility that you have. This, you know, everybody is so worried about what goes on in Washington and pays no stinking attention to the Public Service Commission in the state of Alabama because that's boring. Let's talk more about what George Soros is up to versus what they're doing in the Public Service Commission, that they're all worried about that, that those lines were laid by the utility, which is your one choice for water and sewer, because it's utility. It's not like we're different than other places, but that's how it works. So, yes.
And I wonder, you know, with the half cent per square foot tax on the commercial space or property, I wonder how that applies, because it says property tax exemptions that are already in place. I wonder if, like, the Amazons and some of the places that have moved down, mm-hmm. you know, there's two big Amazon places on the port now, and you've mm-hmm. got all these companies that have moved in. I wonder if they will be a part of this, or if that one little sentence there, property tax exemptions already in place, would apply if some of these places are already, you know, good on that. They don't have to pay for it.
Okay, but and think about it. Big facility like that, and that's you're talking about the exemption portion, but I'm thinking just the real world footprint. Let's say you have if we agree that stormwater is increased, the runoff is increased by the areas that are not green anymore. In other words, the water cannot soak into the water table. It's paved over, it's mm-hmm. whatever, right? It's a rooftop, it's something like that. If you have a facility that's one story,
mm-hmm.
for lack of a better word, it could be 8 feet high, it could be 20 feet high, but a one-story structure, and that spans, you know, an acre and a half.
Right.
And then you take a place that's a high-rise of sorts, it's two-story, three-story, four-story, five-story, may have the same square footage of the other one, but its footprint and its actual causation to stormwater runoff is less because the footprint in the area that takes out the green is less. So I'm going to argue that that's not a fair way to do it, because if you're going to say, just like I've been talking about gas taxes in the past, I said out of all the taxes I'm not exactly excited about, but at least gas tax has the logic of being user, you drive more, you pay more, you right. use the roads more, you pay more. Well, if we're going to use the logic that it's about your impact on stormwater runoff, mm-hmm. then it should be the physical footprint of that first story
so
versus any other
of the yeah. of their first floor only, so that they should amend this and then add a little more details, and you'd be okay with it.
Maybe. All right, Joel. We'll run to Joel before we go to the break. Hey, Joel.
Hey, John. Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look into a little bit more of this, but. It seems like it's they didn't want the city residents to vote on this, for sure. I can understand the need to keep up with their maintenance and stuff, but I don't understand that really at all. And Kelly said something about they wanted to keep Mobile beautiful and green and everything. Why don't they start trying to pick the trash up that I've been trying to get the city of Mobile to do something with on Moffett Road? That's Three Mile Creek for a year now.
Well, and I appreciate you
and
getting those pictures to me.
I got them. Pictures of that.
I got them when I got back, and I'm passing those along. So I do appreciate you getting those photographs to us, and we're going to pass them along. And if need be, we'll go ahead and publish those photos if that's all right with you.
Yeah, because this is between me and you, and I've called
just us two. Yeah.
I've called the city. I've called Bay Keepers. I don't know why anybody just don't act like this is a big topic. I guess I need to call ADM or somebody like that, or try to get the news out there to look at this situation.
Now you did.
So if they want to keep Mobile beautiful and green, well, let's start by
attending and trying to get the trash that accumulated in places.
Joe, it's,
that runs off in our waters. And
I'm with
stuff, you.
You
know?
We're 100% behind you on that. And passing those pictures along to the people that need to see them. If nothing happens, then I'll make it my job to make sure everybody sees them. How about that, Joel? Coming right back. Grabs some phone calls, 343-0106. All right, 854 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. And y'all talking about event coming up tonight?
Yeah, National Night Out. That is tonight, 6:30 to 9:30 at the Civic Center. We had a great guest on last week who told us more about that. And a lot of resources will be there, so you can understand all the community greatness that are right, I mean, up the road from you, literally, sometimes, that can help you out when it comes to safety. And you get to celebrate our men and women in uniform. There's going to be live demonstrations. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, so this for Baldwin County National Night Out event is going to be at the Orange Beach Waterfront Park from 5 to 8:30 tonight.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep, and there's a 5K as well, too.
And with, why they always got to be running?
With Officer Gary Owens we had on last week, he was kind of explaining everything that's going to go on tonight. It's a great event to take the kids to. They're going to have, like, SWAT team demonstrations. They're going to
have
They're going to have all...
mean kids? How about me?
Well, that's what I meant.
The mountain unit would be there as well.
It's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. They're going to have all kinds of really cool things to check out. So, really excited about this.
In the 35th year, so and it's free. F-R-E-E.
That's right. It's priced in my budget then. Let's go to the phones at 343-0106. And Ann is in Mobile. Hey, Ann.
Hey, Sean, good to have you back. We missed you. You were gone.
Well, thank you. I'm back now, so, and I'm well rested, so things are good.
Good. So you're ready to go. Well, yes. I have a question. I think it was back in 2000 and early 17. Sandy Simpson awarded a lot of projects to disadvantaged businesses to improve infrastructure and like on Three Mile Creek, Cypress Shores Drive Canal North, which has been was supposed to have been done 3 decades ago and never has been, and now it's choked up with all kind of debris, and the manatees have a hard time getting through there. And John Williams did his part, sent the money, it was awarded, and you know, I emailed Sandy Simpson, and all I get is stonewalled. And I was wondering if I'm getting stonewalled. I wonder if all these other projects are, too, for some reason. I was wondering, is anybody following up on any of that? Or is
well, I mean, the ones that get the attention, that visually, you know, the litter traps, I know that's happening. I mean, I've seen them in person, and I've seen the news stories on them, so I know those are happening. I know some of the mitigating efforts for, remember the closures, the corrals for your dumpsters and the tops and all that. I know that happened and went in. All the different working pieces, I don't have a list of all of them in front of me to be able to check off, so I don't know that.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, and I told him my property value, I live on Cypress Shores Canal Drive North, went up $10,000.
Wow.
And there is nothing being done. And it was awarded. The money is there. I have talked to John Williams, and all he can say is, I don't know what to tell you.
So you're saying that the contract's been awarded, things were turned over, but the company or whatever the person that's doing it has not done the work.
Right, nothing's been done. And when the neighborhood annexed into the city like 35, 40 years ago, the only reason the residents wanted to annex in, or the only stipulation, was you've got to take over the maintenance of these canals from the county. And Cypress Shores Canal Drive North is a flow through from Halls Mill Creek to the other end of Halls Mill Creek to Dog River to Mobile Bay. I mean, it's a main canal. And, you know, and then there's other neighbors that have had issues with drainage. You can't, I mean, they're threatening to go. I think one of them emailed one of the news organizations or whatever, but anyway, I was just, you know, wondering what you...
Well, I'll tell you what, at least I now know to start looking, Ann, so I appreciate that information to see what's going on with that. I think this discussion will continue since, you know, we'll have it go to the city council and You know, they'll bounce around a while in the news cycle, so maybe we have a chance to get some more information on that. Appreciate the call. We got to go. Laura Ingram on the way next. Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.